stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Don't you wish you could sing like J.R.? All right. If you have your Bible, Psalm 119, great to see all of you tonight. We'll continue on. Next week we won't be meeting. It'll be the week of Christmas. And we'll be having Christmas Eve services. Don't forget, we have one at 5 and one at 11. And then we'll be here together, those of us who can make it on Christmas Day. No Bible study on Christmas Day. Just two worship times, 9 o'clock and at 10:30. Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight. We thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the opportunity we have together in this place. We thank You for what J.R. and these men have reminded us of tonight, that unique, amazing, special night thousands of years ago where You came, You were born into this world, God made flesh, the incarnation. So Lord, tonight we pray that for a few minutes we might pull our minds away from other things, and may the help of the Holy Spirit give us the ability to separate ourselves from distractions, and may we hear what You have to say to us from Your Word tonight. We thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the opportunity we have every time we open Your Word to meet with You. May we come to understand that better before our time is up on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so tonight we're in Psalm 119. We'll begin reading in verse number 129. And tonight our focus is on obedience and how when God teaches us, we grow in our obedience. And so we know that the faithful way of obeying God's word is the theme of Psalm 119. And so tonight we will we'll look at that. So Pat, go to that second slide there. We saw last week, or the last time we met 2 weeks ago, one more. Obedience, we saw the last time we met and looked at these things, we looked at about the importance of how obedience expresses our servanthood to God. And all through Psalm 119, we see that the psalmist calls himself the servant of the Lord. So let's go back just to verses 121 to 128, just to get our minds back around this again. And notice what the psalmist says about being a servant. And notice again the number of times the word servant appears. I've done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety, or redeem your servant for good. And then in verse 24, deal with your servant according to your loving kindness. Verse 125, I am your servant. Give me understanding. And so we see this whole expression of servanthood. When I obey the Lord, I'm expressing my servanthood. I'm expressing obedience. Obedience and serving, serving and obeying go together. And so that's what we learn from Psalm 119, especially verses 121 to 128. But you have the word servant that appears all through Psalm 119. And I'm grateful for all of you who've stayed with us all the way through Psalm 119. We'll be wrapping it up. It'll take us a little bit into the new year to finish it up, but we don't have far to go. And so tonight we look at the letter pay in the Hebrew language. And so as we look at this, we learn when God teaches us, our obedience grows. We grow in our obedience. So we read, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul observes them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me after your manner with those who love your name. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of water because they do not keep your law. So in these verses, in verses 129 through 136, first we have the psalmist talking about the value, the extreme value of God's word, and then we have him praying. And we see this over and over. I've said to you many times, if you want a starter to warm your heart when you need to be warmed in your heart before you meet God in prayer, go to Psalm 119. You can just about pick any verse and use it to get you going, to get you going. Those of you who haven't been with us on Wednesday nights, we've been in this psalm for a long time. And Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible, and it's also the longest chapter in the Bible. And each of the sections begin with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so it's an acrostic if you're familiar with poetry. So tonight we look at these words. I want you to see this. This is the frustration. When we read this in the English Bible, it's hard to describe how it's phrased in the way it was written in the Hebrew Bible. But on Wednesday nights, we go a little bit further and try to talk about some things that sometimes are a little bit more technical. So tonight we talk about each of these verses begins with a word from the Hebrew language that begins with the letter pay. So I want to read the words. The first word, now in our English Bible, it's not going to be necessarily the first word you read, but in the Hebrew Bible, this is the first word for each verse. Wonderful is verse 129. 130, the first word is unfolding. You may have a King James Bible and it reads entrance. Unfolding is the second word. The next word is the word mouth. And generally when you read this, it's my mouth. So that's the word of verse 131. The primary word in verse 132 is turn to me. Turn to me. It's one word. 133 is the word establish. Excuse me, I'm wrong. 133, the key word is footsteps. Footsteps. My footsteps. 134, the first word is redeem me or deliver me. In verse 135, the first word is to make your face. We have to use three words to say the one word, but it's the idea of cause your face, make your face. And then in 136, rivers or streams is the word. Now, what am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say to all of us here tonight that when we read the psalmist, when we look at these words, we have here a man of God who has opened the Word of God, listen to me, with an open heart and mind, with a willingness to obey God, and he is growing. People say, well, how do I get closer to God? Open your Bible, open your heart, have a willing mind, and obey God. That's how we grow. Open your Bible, open your heart, be willing to obey God, and let him teach you. This is the way. So tonight, if I was giving this a title, this whole section, the way I'm going to try to take you through it is, it's a man with his open Bible. A man with his open Bible. It's the thing old Pastor Mike keeps saying to our church. If you only read one chapter a day, read our reading for the day. We're in the book of Revelation right now. We're about to finish the year. Then we'll start again. Join us. If you didn't join us this year, you're not under condemnation. Praise God. You're not under the law. You're under grace. Can anybody say amen on Wednesday night? You can start reading your Bible again tomorrow. Hallelujah. I don't have to go before the law and take a goat and have it sacrificed, right? Okay, are you with me? I'm not fussing at you. I'm just trying to, come on, here we go. So we read the Word of God, my appeal. If I got on my knees, would it help? My appeal is to open your Bible, open your heart, have a willingness to do what the Bible says to do, meet God there, and you will be changed. That's the story, as best I can say it, of verses 129 to 136. So I want us to talk for a moment about God's wonderful word, first of all. And you can see it there on your outline. Let me just start by noticing this. Here's the Hebrew reading. Wonderful are your testimonies. Now our English Bible reads, your testimonies are wonderful. The phrasing is wonderful. That's the first word. Wonderful are your testimonies. Now, what have we learned about these words? I want you to, by the way, go through with me. Notice all the different words that are used to describe God's word. Verse 129, testimonies. Testimonies is generally the word that describes the Old Testament stories, the testimonies. That's what a testimony is. It's telling of what God's done. Then you have the term. As you read on down, you see testimonies. Then you see the unfolding of your words. The word, the term word. God speaks his word. So God's word, the Old Testament, is what the psalmist is talking about. The psalmist didn't even have the New Testament yet. And the psalmist is saying, your words unfold like light. Then he goes on to talk about the commandments. So then he describes those things that God commands of us to do. We think back to the Ten Commandments, the commandments. Then he goes on down and he talks about, that's in verse number 131. Then he says in 133, establish my footsteps in your word, but actually the better word is promise. God's promises. So in God's word, there are promises. There are promises about the first coming of Jesus the Messiah. There are promises about the second coming of Jesus the Messiah. There are promises of blessing if you obey God, and there are promises of curse and trouble if you don't obey God. So we learn about God's word is filled with promises. We also read in verse number 134 about precepts. Just like the government has precepts and statutes, you have these two terms to describe parts of God's word, especially the Old Testament law, the precepts. Redeem me from the oppression of man that I may keep your precepts. And then in the last one, he describes the statutes in 135. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. There are statutes for the United States government. There are statutes for the state of Tennessee, for the county of Dixon, and for the city of Dixon. God has statutes in the Old Testament that are important. And then he talks about the law, Torah, in 136. All of God's law. So all of these words are used trying to get at all that's in the Bible. Oh, there's much for us to learn in God's word. So here's what I would begin by saying. Your testimonies are wonderful. If you value God's word, you obey God's word. If you value God's word. See, some still come to Bible study like a scientist coming to a lab. We're not here as a laboratory. I'm not interested in being a lab teacher. We're not here to just learn like this is our specimen. We're going to cut it open tonight, and we're going to look at all the parts of it so that we can say, oh, isn't that interesting? That's how it's put together. That's about what you get out of no offense to biology, but once you cut the frog open, well, there it is, and there it is. That's it. Great. There's a tendon, and there's a muscle, and when you've done it, you've done it. We're not here to study a specimen. We're here to listen to the word of God and respond to it. So as we think about God's word, we come to it with an understanding that we are meeting God in these pages. I happen to be one of those who believes that every word in this book is inspired, every word is without error, and they're all placed deliberately where they are in order and structure in order to help us understand and follow and listen to God. So I'm here to learn how to obey God. So you're just getting in on my conversation with myself. How's that? So as we think about obeying God, if you value God's word, you obey God's word. I come at it by saying, well, how am I going to meet God? I don't go to a tent like Moses did, even though we're going to talk about that in a minute. How do I meet with God? With an open Bible, with an open heart, with a willing mind to allow him to meet me in these pages. The most sacred thing we do is meeting God in his word. It is sacred. It is holy. It is what changes us. I believe that with all of my heart. So tonight we talk about God's wonderful word. Notice the description of God's wonderful word in the first couple of verses, 129 to 131. First of all, God's word is wonderful. The only way you understand something is wonderful to be around it, to experience it. You know, you can tell me about going, we were with somebody the other day, and they were talking about their trip to Canada. I don't remember who we were with. Alaska. I've never been to Alaska. I was fascinated by what I heard about Alaska. And I was interested in all the stories about birds and and ocean and fjords and mountains, and I could tell the person who'd been to Alaska was impressed. It was wonderful. Their description of Alaska was amazing, but I've never been to Alaska. I've only seen it on pictures. I've never stood there and looked at the vastness of it. And so to me, the wonder of it is not like the wonder of experiencing it. Now I'm about to make a point. Unless you open God's word, you'll never discover these words, your testimonies are wonderful. You have to read it for yourself. No preacher can give it to you. No teacher, as good as our teachers are here. You go in and open and you sit down and let the teacher teach you. No, that's the teacher discovering, giving you there the wonders they've just, you must pick it up and you must read it for yourself to discover the wonders of God's word. Pick it up and read it. Pick it up and read it. I'm really decided that sometimes I don't say the same thing often enough to drive these points home. So I'm trying to do better in repeating myself. Pick up the word of God and read it. Pick up the word of God. If you want to know the wonder of God's word, you must read it for yourself. I can't give you that except in a secondhand way. You must discover it for yourself. So this, we're way into Psalm 119, into a walk and way of obedience. And it takes a while to discover the beauty of God's word. Why, we're to the 129th verse. The one, and I know a lot of you, you know, some of your Bible studies are over and you're back in here thinking, where in the world is he and what is he ranting and raving about? Well, just stay with me. Just enjoy the ride, okay? If you haven't been with us, just enjoy the ride. For 129 verses, the psalmist has praised the word of God and declared his commitment to obey God's word. And after 129 verses, he's now able to say, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, drawing a conclusion, my soul, notice obedience, observes them. So we learn God's word is wonderful. Second, we learn that God's word reveals. In 130, the unfolding of your words gives light. The unfolding of your words give understanding to the simple. Now we'll go into more detail with these in just a moment. I want you to see, first of all, what is this we hold in our hands? It is the most wonderful thing you possess. I promise you. The gold, the silver of the world, possessions and lands, they cannot compare with the wonder of this. But you'll never know the wonder of it unless you pick it up and you find yourself reading it for yourself. God's word also reveals. God's word reveals over and over. You know what's interesting? You read God's word one year and you read it through. You discover some things. You go back and you read it again. Some of us in this room have been through the Bible in Sunday school classes and Bible study numerous times. And you know what's interesting? Every time we've been through it, we discover something new. Because the Word of God unfolds. It unfolds. Let's use that word. That's the best word here. And it's unfolding, it's revealing to, you know, there are some things that God can't teach me until I get to a certain place in my spiritual life. Do you know that? So there are those who learn the simple things. And there are those who are in this room that the Holy Spirit is now teaching you some very important spiritual lessons for the mature. The unfolding of God's word. It doesn't come based on your chronological age. It comes based on your spiritual maturity, the unfolding of God's word. Tell me, as you read God's word, do you discover, is the word of God revealing itself to you? Is he showing you more about some things? Well, we'll talk about that in a moment. God's word instructs, as we saw here. The unfolding of your words gives understanding. I'm not here for us to just exchange knowledge. I'm here for us to understand that the Word of God gives me I learn the things in God's Word so that I might understand how to live. How to live. how to understand how to deal with rascals in my life. Anybody got a rascal in your life? Don't raise your hand. They might be sitting by you. Yes, we've all got stuff in our lives. Understanding is helping me take the knowledge of God's word and learn how to live. It's understanding. Understanding what to say and not say. Understanding where to go and not go. How to live. You get the idea. God's word instructs. And finally, God's word satisfies. I opened my mouth wide and panted. I longed for your commandments. You see, when God is teaching you and you're obeying God, you want more. You want more. You want what God is giving you in this wonderful book. You go to it more often. You study it more often. You have a desire to make time in your schedule to read it, to pray over it, to talk to God about the words. Every one of these words matter. You know. And so we read these words carefully, and there is satisfaction that comes. So I want to read to you, and if you take notes, it's Ephesians 3. Paul prays this prayer for the Ephesians, and I pray it for you tonight, and I pray it for myself. Ephesians 3:14, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner person, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, here it is, verse 18, may be able to comprehend. It's a mind word. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know, another mind word, the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. Oh, God's word, its breadth, its length, its height, its depth, the dimensions, the grand, massive dimensions of God's word. See, it touches everybody's need. It meets every person at the point of their need. It helps the broken who are living in desperate conditions, but they have to hear God's word. It helps the person who is seeking to follow Jesus but needs to know more. Wherever you find yourself, my point is this: God's word is wonderful. God's word reveals. God's word instructs. God's word satisfies. God's wonders. This word wonderful in Hebrew can mean extraordinary. It's an extraordinary thing that we have in our hands, the word of God. So with that in mind, let's go to the next slide. God's wonderful word, first of all, speaks of his wonders in the world. Let's look for just a moment in Exodus chapter 15, and let's read this verse together. Tonight you're going to have to take your Bible out and read some of these verses along with me. This is the song of Moses. And as Moses is singing this song of praise, he says in Exodus 15:11, who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? And of course, the answer is yes, he works wonders. And then he goes on to describe, you stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them, and in your loving kindness, you have led the people whom you have redeemed. In your strength, you have guided them to your holy habitation. The peoples have heard, they trembled, anguish has gripped the inhabitants of Philistia. And then he goes on. Again, notice, awesome in praises, working wonders. God is a God who works wonders. The wonderful words of God come from a God of wonders. So when Jesus was on the earth, over and over he would heal people. And people were amazed at the wonders of this man Jesus, this one who had come, this prophet this rabbi. He spoke and taught as no other man, and he did wonders. He did amazing, wonderful things. Look in Psalm 77 at the declaration of God's wonder. Again, just a celebration tonight. You know, when you go home, when you praise God, sometimes we use the word praise the Lord, which means we're to praise the Lord. It means to brag on God. Tell God how great He is. Describe to Him His glory. Express to Him His greatness. One way you can do it, Lord, Your word is wonderful and You are wonderful. You are full of wonder. Psalm 77, verse number 11. I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember Your wonders of old. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years ago, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The wonders began in the beginning. The wonders began, and the wonders continue. I will meditate on all Your work and muse on Your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. Are you here tonight and you wonder if there's any hope? I'm here to tell you, listen to the preacher. Listen to the word of God. We serve a God of wonders. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? You are the God who works wonders, and You have made known Your strength among the peoples. And the verses go on. The wonders of creation, the wonders of salvation, the wonders of God's glory, the wonders of one God who has revealed Himself in a Trinity fashion, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the wonders of God's character, His holiness, His grace, His mercy, His kindness, His loving kindness, His patience. I could go on. The works, the wonders of His works, the wonders of His creation of man, the wonders of the cross and the sending of Jesus, the wonders of God. God's wonderful word tells about a wonderful God. Well, if I keep going, I'll run out of time. So we go to the next slide. God's wonderful words also protect us from temptation and disobedience. Let's go now back to verse number 130. The unfolding of Your words. I want to talk about an unfolding Bible. And this isn't one that you go to Lifeway and buy at the store. So don't go in and say, do you have an unfolding Bible? They'll just say, what are you talking about? But you do have an unfolding Bible. You do. As a 60-year-old man, when I read these words, I was going through some of my, many of you have, you know, we're blessed in this country. We have many Bibles. Many of us have many Bibles. We're blessed people. To whom much is given, much is required, may I say. So as I was going through some of my Bibles today, found my Bible that I received when I was baptized when I was 9 years old. And the wonderful people of my church did something good for me. I'm trying to do it. I'm trying to ask Ken to do the same thing, Tim to do the same thing, Todd to do the same thing with our adults, Ryan. Some people took me aside and showed me how to mark my Bible when I was a 9-year-old boy. What a wonderful thing. I hope you know how to mark your Bible. If you don't, we can teach you how to do that. That's what we do in Disciple Life. We learn how to mark our Bible. So I was looking at how I'd mark my Bible. The unfolding, the things that I marked as a 9-year-old boy, I'm 60 years old. The Bible has unfolded for me. I have more accountability to what I have heard. By the way, did you know you're older today than you've ever been? You are. You're older today than you've ever been. And what you learned about God yesterday won't help you today. Today. It's like manna. That's why there are always going to be preachers. You always wonder, Lord, why do we have to put up with these preachers? Could You not do it another way? No. That's part of your heartache and affliction, is to have preachers. And they come and they go. One rolls in, another one rolls in. Listen, don't shut me down. You know why you need preachers and teachers? Because every day I need God's word, because I'm older today than I was yesterday. Every one of us. I don't care how old you are in here. So the unfolding of God's word comes for me. I needed something when I was 9, but I need something as a 60-year-old man. And it's different. The unfolding of your words gives light. Some of you, my senior friends, need light right now. You need light. You've gone back into, you've let some things pull you into the darkness. You need light. The unfolding of God's word gives light. The only way I can see God's word unfolded is if I read it, if I meditate on it, if I memorize it, if I study it. The unfolding of God's word gives light. There's a great verse in Proverbs chapter 6, and I've put it here for you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. So sometimes I open my Bible, and you know what? It's a commandment I need in the unfolding of God's word. Sometimes it's a teaching I need from the unfolding of God's word. And sometimes it's a reproof I need to discipline me that I ought not to do something. There's another great verse. I didn't give it to you, but it's Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the righteous. Now we've been talking about the path of obedience. Listen to me. The path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. I believe we just keep opening our Bible, we keep coming before the Lord, and every day the light gets brighter, and the light gets brighter, and the light gets brighter. And one day we step into the unapproachable light and we're gone from this place. That's the beauty of God's word. It protects us and it reveals to us and unfolds to us what we need. And that's why we study and learn God's word. Next, God's wonderful word makes us hungry. Now, there are certain things that you eat. Have you noticed that there are certain things that you will eat that make you want more? If you eat one French fry, you will probably eat another. If you eat potato chips, you'll eat the bag. If you eat Ritz crackers, even the low sodium ones, you'll eat the whole bag. There's just certain things that happen to us when we eat certain things. Now, some of you are just kind of looking at me. You know I'm talking about, I'm telling the truth. You eat one piece of pie, you finished there. I heard your expression. That's why your britches are tighter than they used to be. Man, I've been to too many Christmas parties over here at the church this year, and man, live, my britches are. Anyway, that's another thing. My point is this: when you taste God's word, you want more. I opened my mouth wide and panted and longed. Look at those words. Opening my mouth. I was tempted to do this, and it was just too much to look at, but the word of God is filled with two very distinct ways of living: the wicked's mouth and the righteous mouth. And one day we'll look at that from the Psalms. The wicked, you know, if you want to do something, chase down something, be worth looking at, the wicked are always talking. The wicked never receive anything. They don't open their mouth to receive and have God put his words in our mouth. They always are saying something, either to somebody else or to God. The wicked are always talking. But when the righteous learn how God speaks first, and then here's what we do. I open my mouth because I need more. I want more. This is a description of what Jesus said. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know, I've been around long enough to notice that some people are fascinated by the word of God like an ancient antique, trying to understand all these interesting parts of how it's written over series and generations of time, and they're fascinated by it, and they come back to it over and over because they're interested in it like an antique. I'm not reading the word of God as an antique. This is the very words I have to stay alive. Do any of you agree with that? I need these words to stay alive. And when I miss my time in these words, I'm a pitiful sight. Just ask Pat. She lives with me every day. You can come up here and ask her after it's over. I need God's word every day. I cannot live by bread alone, but by the words that proceed out of the mouth of God. Why am I talking like this to you tonight? I'm appealing to you to say, the reason why the word of God is wonderful, the reason why it unfolds, what happens is you want more of it. When you get a little of it, you want more of it. And so you say in your own way, my mouth is wide open and I'm panting and I'm longing for your commandments. In verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now, I didn't see anybody come in and start chewing on the end of your Bible. Here, I did. There, nobody did this except the crazy preacher. So it must be more than a literal honeycomb. No, it is the unfolding of the spiritual realities of God's word, opening them to us. Did you read it? I'm going to read it again. Verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste. I get a little of it and I want more of it. From your precepts I get understanding. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Oh, the word of God is so sweet. God's word increases our desire for more of his word. Let me give you some verses, and if you want to look at them sometime, you can for the sake of time. Psalm 42:1, my soul pants for you. I was doing my reading this morning in Psalm 42. My soul pants for you, God. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? What is it that I pant for? What is it that I, you see, when you come to understand your spiritual life, when you come to understand the necessity of God's word, you pant for more. You pant for it. Psalm 63:1, my soul thirsts for you. Listen to these words that are used by the psalmist. They're words that describe a human condition of thirsting and longing, but they're describing a spiritual condition. Spiritual people are always thirsty for more of God. Spiritual people are always hungry for more of God's word. Spiritual people pant for God. More of God, to fill us more, to take control of our lives, to take control of our minds, to remove the old man out of the way and let the new man operate by the power of the Spirit. Psalm 143:6, my soul longs for you like dry ground. So God's word is enough, like manna. You, some of your teachers have told you this, and preachers, for all of your life. God's word only lasts for a day. You got to go back every day. I can't live off of God's word for weeks on end. I'm asking you tonight, my dear friends, do you know God's word to be wonderful? Do you see and have you experienced the unfolding of God's word in your life? And do you have a greater hunger and desire for God's word now than when you started? Well, if you've ever read it, if you've ever met God in the pages of the word of God, I promise you, these things will be true for you. And they can start tonight, by the way. You can go home tonight and instead of turning on the news, which is going to show you the blow up on 24. How many times does something blow? I would not live on I-24 for anything in my life. You can go home and watch again tonight the run again of the two trucks that crashed at 3 in the morning. I'll give you the news right now. And all the stuff that floated out of the air, you can listen to the news. By the way, the weather, it's going to be cold tomorrow. I can go ahead and give you that now. And there are going to be some football games on this weekend. Now, how about if you just didn't turn TV on and you went and got your Bible? And before you went to bed, you came back to Psalm 119 and you said, your testimonies are wonderful, Lord. That's why I obey them. The unfolding of your words give light. I need some light. I've got decisions to make. I'm walking in the darkness. I don't know what to do. And then after you read God's word and you speak with God, you lay your head down and enjoy the greatest night of sleep you've had in a long time. Just a recommendation. So after praising the word of God for its wonders, now guess what happens? Prayer, go to the next slide, honey. Prayer and obeying God's word. I want you to see this. I put in bold letters up here, bold writing, what I've said to this church many, many times over the years of studying the book of Psalms. Listen to me. I hope you're listening. Prayer is a response to what God says. It is not me telling God something first. If you think that's prayer, you've not understood prayer. Prayer is a response to God speaking. I don't know what to say to God till he has spoken to me. See, this is our problem with prayer. We've gotten this in a way where we think we're giving Jesus our list. Lord, I'm busy today. Thank you for meeting me. By the way, I got about four things here. If you could work on these somehow today during the day, and I'll get back to you maybe a couple days from now, but I know you'll take care of it. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. No, I don't know what to pray till God speaks to me. And I genuinely mean that. So prayer is a response. Follow this now. I'm just preaching the Psalms. Notice the prayer doesn't begin until verse number 132. Your testimonies are wonderful. It's praise. Therefore, my soul observes them. It's praise. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Praise. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I long for your commandments. Praise. He's praising. But then look at this. All of a sudden, turn to me and be gracious. Anybody in here need God to turn to you tonight and show you his grace? Well, I do. I do. He doesn't say, turn away from me. By the way, some of the Psalms say, turn away from me. Turn your face away from me. You know why? When you're living in shame and in sin, you don't want God to look at you. This is a call in prayer for the Lord. Turn to me. Pay attention to me. Pay attention to me. You have it in your notes there. Then he says, turn to me and be gracious. Notice, after the manner with those who love your name. You know, the way God deals with those who spurn his name is one way. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Anybody here ever heard that verse before? It's from the book of Proverbs. It's also in the book of James. It's also in 1 Peter. So two of the apostles picked it up and said the same thing. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So you know what this righteous man asked for? He asked for God to pay attention to him and be gracious to him like he does toward those who are humble and who love his name. So Lord, turn to me. This is what he says. We're privileged in the Psalms to get to go to the door of the prayer closet of the psalmist and listen to him pray. We're eavesdropping actually here. Did you know that? This is his intimate prayer to the Lord. Turn to me and be gracious to me after the manner with those who love your name. And then he goes on, establish my footsteps in your word. Now let me talk about this for a minute. This is beautiful because actually, another way to read this is set straight my steps. And actually, I'm not trying to bore you with this, but I want to try to expand on this. The word footsteps comes from an old Hebrew word that means a beat, B-E-A-T, beat, a beat. You know, when you walk, there's a rhythm to your walk, isn't there? There's a pace. So you follow the pattern here, and if you read it this way, establish the pace of my life. It's beautiful. Some of us in here are running way too fast. Some of us in here are running way too slow. We need to be running at the Spirit's pace, don't we? We need to be going at his pace. Establish my steps. Some of us have said, oh, I've made some mistakes in my life. Redeem me from oppression. Notice that in verse 134. Redeem me from the oppression of man that I may keep your precepts. Notice, I want you to take me away from oppression so that I can obey your word. And then this beautiful verse. This is the hinge, as I call it, the hinge verse of this entire section. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. I want to go to the last slide quickly as we finish and talk for a moment about meeting God in God's word. I would never say anything to you that I do not practice myself. I won't do that. I promise you. But I will simply say to you as a fellow follower of Jesus, this verse describes for us and brings together all of those verses that talk about the face of God. Oh, I understand. Look, Moses wanted to see God, and God said, he hit him in the cleft of the rock and said, you cannot see my face and live. I understand that, but don't miss this. Face not only means the actual, it is the presence of God. It is his character. It is his nature. It is who he is. It is the face of God is God's presence. The face of God is his attention. See, some of us don't believe that God is paying attention to us. We think he's busy with the United States or China. I'm looking at all my dear friends in here. I've been walking with a lot of you a long time. He's paying attention to Lance Reed right over here. He's paying attention to Doc. He's paying attention to Frank Whitaker. I'm not trying to embarrass. I'm just calling my friends out. He's paying attention to Troy Martin back there. He's paying attention. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God's paying attention? Let me give it to you the way Jesus said it. Why are you worried? Consider the lilies of the field. You remember that? What did Jesus say? Remember the birds? They don't sow. They don't reap. But the Heavenly Father takes care of them. I want you to know tonight, God's paying attention to you. And so the face of God is his presence. Moses met God, Exodus 33:11. He met him face to face. But the psalmist prays, and this is the verse. This is the summary of this section. Look at it as we close. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. That is glorious. So for you and I to sit, and by the way, God's face describes his instruction. I want to read to you as we close from 2 Corinthians, a very familiar verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Paul's talking about the new covenant, and he's been talking about the ministry of death, the law, and he's been talking about Moses' face and how Moses' face would shine. You remember this whole passage. And so he talks about this and says something very interesting. As he's talking about the face of Moses, then he starts to talk about something else. He talks about an unveiled face. You know, when you open your Bible, because you are born again and you have the Holy Spirit, you read this with an unveiled face. You have the Holy Spirit as your teacher. But we all, verse 18, with unveiled face, behold as in a mirror. Here it is. We're looking at it. As in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And I could go on to glory to glory to glory from the Lord the Spirit. So how did I begin is how I want to end. An open Bible, an open heart, and an open mind will help you and I to grow in our obedience. Why do I not obey God like I need to? It's because I've stopped opening my Bible. Because here's the thing. When I go to that secret place like Jesus said for us all to go to, I go there with my Bible open, because before I know how to pray, I got to hear from God. And my desire is that from the youngest of our people spiritually to the most mature, we will practice meeting God in God's word. Amen? Amen. All right, I've done the best I can do tonight. I'll give you one last thought. Did you know in the new heaven and the new earth, you will see the face of God? Revelation 22:4, the Bible says, and they will see his face. Go home and think about that one tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you that though we cannot stand in your presence, your awesome presence and the glory and power of your omnipotence and power and grandeur, you've sent Jesus. And in the face of Jesus, we see you and understand all about what it means for you to be a glorious and wonder-working God. Now I pray for my dear friends here as well as myself that each day we will find time to meet you around the Word of God and hear what you say so that we will know what to say to you. So tonight we pray these words: turn to me and be gracious to me. Establish my footsteps in your word. Redeem me from the oppression of man. And make your face shine upon me, your presence, your instruction, your attention, and teach me your statutes. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.